If you wanted some financial advice, you would probably go to a broker or to an investment counselor. But you would never go to a preacher for financial advice. The other day, we had a preacher's meeting. When we got there, we were all passed out a little booklet that had been prepared. When we got through the booklet, we were all passed out, all day. Anyway, that we were passed a booklet, and the title was Planning Your Investment Portfolio. I didn't know much about it once he gave it to me. Anyway, all the preachers were gathered around, and this guy began to say that many weeks come that a retired preacher comes to him. They don't have a home. They have $10,000 and want his advice. And he tells them, it's too late. I have nothing to say to you that can help you. And so he was trying to tell us, gentlemen, you better prepare if you don't want to end up like these men that's coming in my office with $10,000 and no place to live and a retirement of about $5,000 a year. They are in real trouble, he says. Then he went through this booklet, explained to us what we were going to have to do to prepare ourselves. Well, in one of the charts, well, he said that the wise thing to do is, as he had done all his life, save 10% of your income. Give 10% to the Lord and spend the rest on necessities. But save 10%. If you'll do that, you'll be all right. Then he added this catch, if you start soon enough. Then he said, look on page so-and-so and you'll find this chart of projected costs. Figure out how many years it will be till you retire, and then see how much the income is projected to be for that year. And then look at the projected cost of a home when you retire. All the preachers were flipping, you know. This is a concern for preachers. Well, in 18 years, the Lord willing, I'll retire. Do you know what a $70,000 home is projected to cost in 18 years? $500,000. That's on an 8% inflation rate. $500,000. Now, he said, gentlemen, you look on the other chart and figure up how much you will have to save between now and you retire to reach an income of what you feel will be equivalent to what you think now is a good income. Are you ready? The average income in 18 years will be $150,000. Now, to guarantee myself $150,000, he says you must have in the bank in principal enough to draw interest. That means I'd have to have $1,000,000 at 15% interest to draw $150,000 when I retire if I want to have the average income. Now that makes $500,000 for a home and $1,000,000 for retirement. That's $1,500,000 that I got to save in 18 years. Do you know how much it would take a month? Close to $5,000 a month. And all I can say once I close the portfolio, come Lord Jesus, come. Might as well laugh about it because I can't do anything else. And nobody else can. In our predicament, that's astronomical. I don't see how we can go that way, but maybe their projections are right. I hope they're wrong, but if not, I don't know what the old world's going to come to. But I find that more and more people, and I've been in the ministry about 20-some years, and this is the first time we've ever met talking about money. There seems to be a real concern in America today about investing and drawing as much as you can because of the cost of things that we want to buy and now really need to buy. And so money managers are becoming very important people, especially those that are good. Retirement programs are becoming key factors now in strikes, and companies are faced with the dilemma of how to provide an income for their employees, realizing what I just told you, what kind of income they're going to have, to provide for the people. Now, when it comes to the question of financial investments, you can get millions of ideas, but very few people would ever consider God a good investment advisor. Now, think about it. But you know, he does have a word to offer on the subject. And that brings us up to our 12th thing, which God says, if you want it, you better do it yourself. Because nobody else is going to do it for you. That's pretty well what that guy said the other day at the preacher's meeting. It's in your hands, you can do what you want to. But whatever you do, you better do something. Now, Matthew 6, 19 through 20. You know the scripture. Now, here is the financial advice of none other than God himself. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor corrupt doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, these are things God says, do it yourself. So lay up for yourself treasures. And I just shortened this to mean enrich yourself. Enrich yourself. Now, most people would not consider this to be good investment news in our time and in our day. I might say this so you can't beat the security. And you cannot in any way beat the safety factor of these investments. No depression can touch it. No inflation can wipe it out. No war or storm can blow it away. No thief, nor bug, nor calamity can take it away from you. As far as the safety factor, you can't get a better guarantee than what you have here. You see, the treasure is beyond man's reach and beyond the reach of any other circumstance or condition that can deprive you of it. Now, this verse is open to a lot of interpretations, all the way from those who take it literally to mean you do not buy any insurance of any kind, that you do not save one penny at all, and that you give away everything you make to the point of poverty week by week. There are those that go to that extreme. To those to the other side, you make all you can, you keep all you can, and you give what you can spare. And you have that tremendous range of interpretations regarding this verse. Boy, am I confused, is what this verse says to a lot of people. I don't mind saying it does it to me. I don't believe too many people, though, will get concerned about what Jesus said. And I don't think too many people will pay much attention to what he said. Oh, I know it says I'll lay up treasures, but I don't like the idea, that's the end of that. I believe we're going to give some thought to this. Whatever God has to say about anything is worth paying attention to. I'm thoroughly convinced that Jesus is trying to tell us something here that is important. He is God, the Son, and he was in heaven before he came to earth, and he went back to heaven, and he knows something about heaven you and I don't know. And he's telling us something here about heaven that we don't have a lot of details on, but he's sharing it with us. It raises a lot of questions. Now, Jesus does not condemn our desire for treasures. I believe that's the basic drive. It's in our nature. I believe we're all, in a real sense, treasure-driven. We're treasure-oriented. We're treasure-motivated. We want treasure. The idea of a treasure hunt excites everybody. The idea of a pot of gold to rainbow excites most everybody. Let's face it, human beings are treasure-oriented. And so Christ doesn't say, Christians shall have no treasure. He didn't say that. All he says is, there is a certain treasure you need to have, and there's a certain place you need to have it. He does not deny you the privilege of having the treasure. And so he offers us counsel as to where we ought to have it and where we ought to keep it. Now, Christ says it's not only possible, but it's important that you have some treasure when you get to heaven. Now, some say, well, if Jesus will be enough. I would agree with that. Jesus will be enough. But he's telling us there's something more to heaven that you and I can have that God wants to give you. I believe Christ will be the main attraction, the basic glory of heaven. There's no doubt about that. And if that's all you have when you get there, that'll be enough. But somehow, God is holding out to us the benefit of treasures, and somehow it's going to be important to those who are there. Otherwise, he would not tell you to lay them up. The word lay up means hoard, to stockpile. And so there's going to be something about these treasures that's going to be very important to us throughout all eternity. If I had an opportunity to ask Christ a question, I want to know, well, what are we going to use them for? I mean, if I lay up treasures in heaven, what will they be used for? What good are they? The streets are gold, so you won't need it for that purpose. You know, if you want to pick up something worth value, just pick up some rocks out of the street. It's not for that purpose. And there won't be any rainy days you have to worry about. There won't be any major medical problems. There won't be a retirement problem. There won't be an old age problem. There won't be a poverty problem. What do you need treasures for? I'd like for Christ to tell me. But he didn't do that. He says, seemingly say, but you'll want them. But you'll want them. You be sure and enrich yourself, because treasures are important. And you need to put something in heaven's bank, Christ is saying, before it's too late. Before it's too late. I guess here we have to trust Christ as a financial advisor. Does he really know what he's talking about? Is it wise to do this? And here's where faith comes into play. I don't believe there's a bank in heaven. But I do believe that there is a ledger being kept in heaven as far as works go, and as far as rewards go, and as far as crowns go, and as far as treasures go. So, well, how do I lay up treasures in heaven? Well, the Bible's pretty clear about that. You give to those who are poor, who are in need, when you have it to give. And secondly, you support God's work. Provide the needs of God's plans to be carried out upon the earth. And that's the way you lay up treasure in heaven. That's something you must do, and I can't do for you. That's something I must do, and no one can do for me. I must invest myself. God said, do it yourself. Now, investing for eternity may seem strange, but the minute you die, it won't be strange at all. Have you ever made a statement, boy, I wished I had known today what I knew 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I would have struck it rich. I wonder if that's not going to be one of the comments when we finally realize the value of treasures in heaven. Boy, had I known what I know now, I would have invested much more heavily in what the treasures are. If I'd just known. Well, that's the thing about treasures, folks. We just never know what to invest in today is going to be worth a fortune tomorrow. We just don't know. But you know, in life, you take a risk. But there is no risk with Christ. He says, everything you invest is a treasure. No losers, no chance of depreciation, no chance of losing the value. You'll be a winner. There was a gravestone that read like this. What I spent, I had. What I saved, I lost. What I gave, I have. Remember the missionary that went to the Hakka Indians and was martyred? This was what he wrote in his diary a few days before his death. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. It takes a while to work that one out, but that's a great truth. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You know, eternity is a double movement activity. By that I mean, eternity is always moving towards us. In the sense, the Lord's return is always one day nearer. At the same time, eternity moves towards us. We're moving towards eternity. It's going like this. And by that I mean, the moment you die, you are entered or ushered into eternity. So there's a double movement to eternity, towards us and us towards it. Now that being the case, how much time do I have to invest? I don't know. How long before eternity reaches us? I don't know. How long before I reach eternity? I don't know. I really don't know. But I know this, what I keep, when eternity strikes, I lose. But what I've given away when eternity strikes, I get to keep. I know that. Everything I can call my own will not be my own the moment I die or the moment the Lord returns. It's all gone. I know that. Now, the enjoyments that I have of the treasures I have now are temporary, Christ says. But the joy of the treasures that I send ahead are permanent. They will always be yours. That's something to think about. You'll never lose them. And so from the standpoint of common sense, Christ is giving us good financial advice. Enrich yourself. Lay up treasures in heaven. Put it where it's bound to be kept and where one day you are bound to get it. That's good advice. But now the question always is asked, well, how much do I lay up? All I can say is you lay up enough that you would call it a treasure. No, I wouldn't call $10 in the bank a treasure. That wouldn't be enough to qualify for a treasure. Now, the word treasure means that it's enough of anything that you take pleasure in it. It's enough of anything that would make you think of it quite a bit. It's enough of something that would qualify of being of great value. It's a treasure. Now, I think there are a lot of people who say, well, I hope to have enough of both. I hope to have a treasure here, and then have enough for a treasure up there. Well, that's good hoping, but I doubt if anybody really can qualify for that very often. You see, usually if you follow that kind of theory, what happens is that you say, I'll first get my treasure down here. And then after I finally have my treasure down here, then I'll work on my treasure up there. But that never works because, you see, we never feel like we have that treasure down here cinched. And what I mean by the word treasure is that you have enough security that you have no financial worry or fear, period. No matter what happens, I'm prepared. Now that is a treasure. And most people do not really feel secure until they reach that point. I am able now to take care of any problem, emergency, or need. If you are in that state, then you have reached the state of an earthly treasure. But when do you reach that? I don't find even man that's millionaire saying I reached it yet. I think Christ implies in his statement here, not that you forget about earthly needs and obligations, but forget about trying to be so secure that nothing can touch you. Even the point of security that God himself is not needed. There's the real danger that I believe a man faces a Christian in 1 Timothy 6:17-19. 1 Timothy 6:17-19. Notice what Paul advises in this scripture. 1 Timothy 6:17-19. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor that they trust in their riches, but rather that they trust in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. In verse 18, that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, and ready to distribute and willing to communicate, laying in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. There's your treasure in heaven. That they may be lay hold on eternal life. I think Christ is saying here, lay up treasure in heaven, even though it's going to cost you some of the treasure that you might have on earth. You will have to jeopardize your security to some extent, and you will have to learn to trust in God to some extent if you're to ever lay up a treasure in heaven. And I believe that's true. If I took the advice of that preacher serious, I would go into a crash program trying to save $1.5 million, which is absolutely absurd. But their advice was, you better get as close to it as you can. That would mean I couldn't give God a dime, that I couldn't even enjoy living, that I would live on bread and soup and water for the rest of my life until I retired. I'll not do it. I'll not do it. I'll keep giving to God to have a treasure, and I'll keep living as nice as I can, enjoy some life on the way. When I get out of retirement and blow it, I'll blow it. That's the only way I can lay up treasure in heaven. I'm in a financial predicament where I can't have both. And I never will have both. And I don't know many people that can. So something has to give. Now think about it. And Christ says, my financial advice to you and everybody else is, if there is a rather and there is a choice that must be made, you better have your better treasure, your bigger treasure, your greater treasure, your richer treasure laid up here. You're going to leave that one down there, and you'll never have another chance to get another one up here. And that's the main thing about the treasure in heaven. You either provide it now, or you'll never have another chance. And somebody say, well, you either provide for your retirement, you never have another chance. Jesus says, if there has to be a rather, and I believe that you can just trust in God and do the best you can. I don't lay down your financial rules. I don't know what decisions that you must make, nor I must make. But I know that the Bible clearly states that the riches in heaven and the treasures in heaven will be something that we will forever wish we had. I believe that. And I believe it'll be one of the first regrets that faces you in the day you are judged by Christ. One of the first regrets you have. I wished I would have known. I would have paid the price. And there is a price to pay to lay up treasure in heaven, as there is a price to pay to lay up treasure on earth. You can't have your cake and eat it right now. And you can't have your cake and lay up treasure in heaven unless you're a very rich person. And if you're that rich, I'll be seeing you in about 18 years. Father, we're thankful tonight that on many subjects you are not silent. And we know that you realize that families must be cared for and the needs of a life must be made somewhat stable, and that life's bills must be paid. We know that these things are all necessities of life, but in all of the things we have to do, may we realize that there is, if at all possible, this real need to lay up treasure in heaven. We thank you for the advice. We thank you for the invitation. We thank you for the opportunity to have a bonus, so to speak, in heaven, that bonus being the treasures that we can lay up. Help us to have the ability to help the poor and to spread the gospel. Enable us to have something we can use to store up treasure. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.